Hear the words from Matthew's Gospel. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who is to be born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him, and calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the peoples, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. And they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another way. They left for their own country. Where were these wise men from, these magi, these astrologers? Perhaps present-day Syria or Iraq? Were they Babylonians? Where were they from, these wise men from the east? Wherever they were from, they were not Jewish. They're not from around here. They were strangers. Listen to this editorial from a recent Christian Century. In the weeks before Christmas, the prospect of Syrian refugees entering the U.S. unleashed an epidemic of fear and fear-mongering. Alarmed that one of the suspects in the November terrorist attacks in Paris may have entered Europe using refugee status, two presidential candidates said that they would block all Syrian Muslims from entering the country and admit only Christians. More than half the nation's governors said Syrian refugees are not welcome in their states. Faced with one of the greatest refugee crises in modern history, in which some 11 million Syrians have been displaced, 4 million have left their country, and 700,000, mostly women and children, have risked their lives to reach Europe, some Americans shrink from even the modest humanitarian response of resettling 10,000 Syrian refugees in the next year. Fear is an understandable reaction to danger. The fear of the stranger, someone different from ourselves. Where does this fear begin? One psychologist I read traced fear back to our very earliest years. When babies are born, the world revolves around them. They're hugged and suckled and fussed over. Mothers, fathers, friends, family, neighbors can't get enough of these cute little bundles. And the child knows nothing else but being the center of the world. But as the child grows, the child begins to differentiate. There are objects outside of itself, a ball, a rattle, something attempted to be grasped, something that they can't quite control. And then there are the others. Mother, who has been one with the child for so long, begins to be another. She's not always there when the child wants her. And there are those others. And as soon as there is recognition there are others, the possibility opens that they are indeed other, separate. The possibility opens that they may be over and against me. The other may have something, may want something that I have. They may want one of my toys. They may want the attention that once was exclusively mine. When our daughter Britt was 3.5 years of age, we dared to bring another daughter, Rachel, into the family. It was great at first having this little baby around, but it wasn't long before Britt developed a problem of constipation. Our family doctor, Stan Holm, was a member of our church and a good friend, and at one of the gatherings of friends from the church, Britt took matters into her own hands and went to talk to Dr. Stan. He set her on his knee and he talked to her for quite a while. And then after a few minutes, he came over to Sally and me and he said, "You know, she's madder than blazes at that new baby." In Britt's gentle way, she took out her anger and held it in stubborn resistance. The other. Taking attention that once exclusively was mine. The fear of the stranger, someone different from us. Someone who might want something from us, or may even harm us. Fear is an understandable reaction to danger. A few years ago, I attended the senior championship golf event out at the TPC course in Blaine. A large crowd gathered around the first tee. Lee Trevino was getting ready to tee off with some of the other former greats. Now, if you are not a golf fan, you may not know too much about Lee Trevino, but he did play in an era with a few guys you probably have heard of: Arnold Palmer, Jack Nicklaus, Gary Player. But Lee Trevino grew up in Mexico. He became a very good golfer. He won 6 of the major golf tournaments in his career. And Lee was a very jovial, happy-go-lucky, straight-shooting, crowd-pleasing kind of a guy. The fans loved him. Standing on that first tee, Trevino was interacting with the crowd. And at that time, as it is now, immigration and the border between the U.S. and Mexico was a hot topic. In bantering with the crowd, Lee said, "If the border rules were as strict as they are now when I was a boy, I wouldn't be standing before you today." A player from Mexico who pleased and entertained fans all over the world. Now, in no way am I saying the problem of immigration is easy and without danger. The immigration policy of the U.S. is a huge problem affecting millions of people, and there are no easy answers. Threats to the safety of American people must be taken into consideration. But that does not mean for us, as God's people, as followers of the Prince of Peace, that we should give in to fear as the only motivating factor in meeting the stranger. Wise men came from the east. They're not from around here. They were strangers, outsiders. As God's people, shouldn't we be on the side of the foreigner and the alien and the outsider? As God's people, shouldn't we be on the side of the widow and the orphan and the stranger? The barriers between us and the stranger were not put there by God. Genesis 1:27 says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them." All people, male, female, black, brown, white, rich or poor, small or large, are created in the image of God. That should give us pause when we meet the stranger, even when we look upon the face of an enemy. Throughout the Bible, God seems to have a special concern for those who are the last and the lost and the least. Exodus 23:9, when God is laying out the rules for this community of Israelites, these former slaves of Egypt, how they should become a community, he says, "You shall not oppress an alien. You know the heart of an alien, for you were once aliens in the land of Egypt." And in Deuteronomy 5:12, the fourth of the Ten Commandments, "Observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male or your female slave or your ox or your donkey or any of your livestock or the resident aliens in your town. Remember that you were once a slave in Egypt." Throughout the Psalms, we hear the psalmist speaking out against the self-righteous who take advantage of the poor and the stranger. The prophets cry out over and over about mistreatment of the widow and the orphan and the outsider. And Jesus himself is often identified as the one who eats with tax collectors and prostitutes and sinners. The other, the marginalized, the stranger. We seem to have a God who has a special concern for those who are the last and the least and the lost. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed, to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door. Emma Lazarus. The inscription on the Statue of Liberty. Standing in the middle of New York Harbor. These words echo our country's history of welcoming the needy and the immigrant and the stranger. And isn't there a longing in all of us, perhaps kindled by that image of God within us? Isn't there a longing for compassion to win over fear? Remember the poignant words of Rodney King, an African American, subsequent to his beating by LA police. "Can't we all just get along?" Now, I'm not naive. I know that the world is not a simple place. I know that there is danger out there. I know that Rodney King got into more trouble after his heartfelt request. But the desire is there, isn't it? Each Christmas, when we celebrate the coming of the Prince of Peace, we long for the day when we indeed will no longer be strangers. I wonder, for what were those wise men from the East looking as they searched the skies, night after night, year after year? Were they longing for the sign that would lead them to a new hope for the world, a new king, a new leader who would finally help us all get along? When Lewis Smedes taught at Fuller Seminary in Chicago, he would ask his first-year seminary students, how many of you would like to go to heaven? And in that first year class, 95 to 99% of the hands would immediately shoot up. And then he would ask, how many would like to go tomorrow? The hands were a little more reluctant. Not all the hands went up. These were young students. They had the whole world in front of them. But then he would ask a third question. How many would like to wake up tomorrow to a whole new world? A world in which there was no more sorrow, No more crying, no more pain anymore. And we could add in our theme for this morning, a world where we were no longer strangers. Isn't that what we have been longing for this season of Advent? How does that come about? How do we bridge the gap between those who are strangers? How do we bridge the gap between those who fear one another? How do we bridge the gap between those who may even call themselves enemies? How do we bridge the gap brought to our awareness by the Black Lives Matter protesters at the Mall of America? Or on the streets of the 4th Precinct in North Minneapolis? The gap can only be bridged by someone willing to take the first step. Martin Luther King Jr. once said, "Only the power of love can turn an enemy into a friend." And then comes this child, a child born in a manger. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." A child to whom the wise men were drawn by a light, a star in the east. A child who would grow to see the image of God in everyone he met, whether they were Jew or not, whether they were rich or poor. A child who would refuse to meet fear with fear itself. A child who would grow to die upon a cross, where he would crush his enemies with the simple but powerful words, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Christmas has its cradle, but Easter has its cross. Only the power of love can turn an enemy into a friend. Paul tells us in Ephesians, "You are no longer strangers and aliens, but citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." May that assurance give us the courage to refuse to meet fear with fear. May it give us the courage to see those who seem different, to see them as sharing the light of Christmas, made in the image of God, thus revealing to us God's much greater purpose in a much bigger world. You are no longer strangers, but members of the household of God.